Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Good afternoon and welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I'm joined here today by Sherry Patterson and Kelly Patterson. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
I am so excited, and we are here to have this conversation about natural black hair and just the journey that people of color go on from birth to accepting their hair, learning how to care for their hair, and then oftentimes living in a society where people don't understand our hair. This is a topic that we've been wanting to talk about for a while, and today's show is really just going to be an opening conversation about it, and then we're going to continue the conversation in the near future, inviting some hairstylists who style natural black hair and those who maybe are not people of color, but they also work with black hair, and just hearing some stories about just the history of certain styles like cornrows and dreadlocks and et cetera, weaves, all of that. But today we're just going to really just have a casual conversation about what our hair journeys have been like individually and just kind of set the stage for conversations to come. So I'm here in the studio with Sherry and with Kelly, and I'll just open it up saying this. I notice all three of us are wearing wigs today.
We have to in Juno. There's no option. It's Afro or wig because it rains too much.
Yeah.
So we have to protect our hair. Our hair can't handle being wet like this or even be in the moisture exposed like this, like every day, day in, day out, day in, day out. It just can't take it.
Right.
Yeah, last week I had washed my hair and I did a style that's called like a wash and go, and I washed it, deep conditioned it, and it was really pretty, and I hardly ever wear my natural hair out, and I had like a little hang time, you know, it was like past my shoulders when I left the house, and by the time I got from Douglas to Super Bear, it had shrunk up to like, it was literally up to my ears. And I took a picture and I sent it to Kelly because I'm like, look at what my hair did. And I actually was shocked myself because when I got out of the car and I looked in the mirror, walking into the store, I was like, oh, like, oh my God, like what happened to my hair? And so, yeah, Kelly's like, girl, this weather is not for us, by us. And, you know, and it's true. So, yeah, I know I opt to wear wigs quite often, and a part of it is the convenience, but part of it is because this weather in Juno is not conducive.
Yeah, and the fact that we have no black hairstylist here is just...
Not that we know about. If you're out there, let us know.
Exactly. Not that we know about. So we basically take care of our own hair the very best that we can. And for those who can, you know, they get on a plane to Anchorage or Fairbanks or Seattle or somewhere in the deep south to get their hair done on a regular basis, which is not economically sound for the majority of us to do. But we're here in Juno, we do the best that we can. And in that process, we get a lot of comments, a lot of questions. Yeah, I can recall, as we have been preparing for this conversation, I recall years ago when I lived in Anchorage, I had a coworker. She was from Bemidji, Minnesota. I believe it was Minnesota. And she said she had never met a black person in her life until she met me. And so at the time we met, I was wearing Afro. And that's what we did in the 70s. And she had all these questions about black people. Oh, my goodness. And I did not feel that she was being malicious or anything. She was just quite ignorant about our culture. And one of the things that she said that she always heard about cornrows were that we took razor blades where our scalp was exposed. Those were razor cuts instead of just the separation of our hair between the two cornrows.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I said, no, we don't use razors in our hair like that. So that's just some of the misconceptions and some of the ignorance of those who don't know about us and our hair. And this is a very good conversation to have because even here in Juneau, we get the same comments, the same looks. And yeah, so this is, I believe, a time to conversation.
Yeah, I do think we've come a long way, though, in the last 20 years. Everybody talks about representation and how representation matters, especially on television. And I think that representation on television and in media has helped a lot. I think that social media has helped open up people's understanding of black hair, because if you have a question, you can look it up on TikTok. You can look it up on Instagram. You can look up what is an afro on Facebook, and you can see all of these things and you can kind of figure it out for yourself. And there's not this blind questions that people are just coming up and asking you, not from, at least for me anymore. Like, people have been able to find their own information. And, you know, I can remember when black people on television was not a thing. And even on Netflix right now, I'm watching Dawson's Creek and there's no people of color. And just watching that, and I'm like, this is awkward, because it's hard pressed to find a show now where there's nobody of color. Like, it probably wouldn't last longer than a season because we're so used to seeing diversity on the screen at this point. Especially, I know there are a lot of ethnicities that still have a long way to go and they're not represented like they should be. But for the black community, we've come a long way. Mm-hmm. And even the last 7, 5, 10 years, mm-hmm. we've come a really long way. Even to the point where, like, my daughter has shows produced by Ludacris, Karma, on Netflix that has whole episodes talking about black hair mm-hmm. and how it's uncomfortable when people touch it and how you should feel and how our hair does all these magical things. And, you know, they have music videos and anthems, and Disney Plus has, like, a short video on, like, wearing bonnets at night. So it's so much easier for me to tell her, like, this is what people are doing, because she sees that representation, as opposed to, like, when I was growing up, there was no such thing. Right. And so not only was I not comfortable with it and didn't know what I was doing and didn't know how to freely express myself, but the people coming to me didn't know how to approach me and ask me in a way that didn't make me feel uncomfortable. So I think that we've come a long way in the last few years of representation and being comfortable with talking about our black hair. My daughter wears her hair natural every day in a puff, and she's like, I'm wearing my puffs today. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing to it. My mom would have never sent me to school with no puff in my hair. That would not have happened. Right. It needed to be braided. It had to be down. It needed a bead on it, a barrette or something. But she was not sending me to school in a puff. And I would not have gone to school in a puff. It would have been just totally unacceptable, like out of the norm. People would have pulled on it, puffed on it, smelled it. It just would have been totally uncomfortable. But for her, that's not the case anymore.
Right. And even Kelly, you're talking about the experiences of you as a child. And I know some of us were brought up, I mean, as soon as possible, they would relax our hair. Mm-hmm. And so, and relaxing for our audience is a chemical process to straighten the hair. And the majority of us did that so that we wouldn't have to deal with the kinkiness of the everyday process of doing our hair. And yes, the rain is an enemy of our hair. Swimming, you know, you don't want to go swimming much because you have to deal with your hair. It's just so much that we have to deal with. And so we run to alternate processes as relaxing the hair or just straightening the hair, which doesn't last because all you're doing is straightening it for a moment. And the minute a mist come around, or you sweat or perspire, your hair goes back natural. So, yeah, we deal with a lot.
Well, I think it would be a good thing for us to maybe go down a list and do like a quick tutorial on the different hairstyles so that as they're referenced throughout this conversation in future ones,
right,
our listeners, they understand what we're talking about. So let's
and
just
this
start.
This is a very loose interpretation.
Yes,
right? So eventually we'll have somebody on the show that can go into more detail
and
depth of what these are. But these are our interpretations of these hairstyles.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yes. So let's just start with the afro, probably the most commonly widely recognized hairstyle.
When you think afro, think Jackson 5. Even though I'd like to point out that most of the Jackson 5 wore wigs. Most of those afros in the 70s that you saw were wigs.
Yeah.
Our hair does not, well, I shouldn't say all of our hair, but I'd say a good over half. Our afro does not look like that.
Right.
Like,
and if
it does,
large ones, right, the really large ones
really
is not really
ones.
Us. Yeah, right. You're right.
And it takes a lot of work to get a little one that looks like that.
That's right.
Like, we have to train our hair to do that. Like, our hair does not naturally just, you know, we don't take a shower and get out of the shower and it looks like, you know, Michael Jackson's like, forever your girl.
So when we say Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, we're talking about the 60s and the 70s, y'all.
Right. That's
okay.
Afro.
All right. That's afro.
And they come in different lengths. You can have a little one, a big one, a huge one.
Right.
Yeah.
And today we could talk about Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
He wears his afro.
I'd like to point out that Colin Kaepernick is half white, though.
This is true.
His afro is a little easier to
This
obtain.
Is true. That's right.
But
that's
yes,
right.
Colin Kaepernick is a wonderful example of an afro.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about a wig.
A wig can be whatever you want it to be.
Whatever you want it to be.
You want it to be braids. They have wigs that have headbands. You can get a wig.
That's true.
That's red, blue, purple, ombre.
Straight.
Naturally.
Curled,
natural. You have the lace front. You have the...
And a lace front is when they literally put a piece of lace in the front and we cut it off and we blend it in with our skin so that you can't tell where our... skin or natural hair starts and where the wig starts.
And it looks a little bit more natural.
It looks a little bit more natural. Yep. And wigs are made from plastic all the way up to human hair. And they can cost anywhere from $20 to thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands. And it's a huge industry. The wig industry is huge.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
$1 billion.
And I would recommend human hair rather than the...
I would
synthetic.
Not recommend human hair.
Yeah.
It all has to be thrown away eventually.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, what about a weave?
Oh, my.
There's all different kinds of weaves because you can have the weave that you glue in and you can have a weave that, like, they braid our hair and then they sew in, like, I don't know how to describe it. It looks like hair on a line and it comes really long.
They're called tracks.
They're called tracks and you sew the track into their hair. Mm-hmm. If it's a human hair, really good track, you can use it a few times. When we talk about hair, I need Juno to understand this because, Juno, you guys get really upset about people's hair and how much they spend on it. We spend a lot of money on hair.
Yeah, we do.
When we're talking about tracks, we're talking about buying hair per ounce.
Right.
And we're talking about $200 an ounce of hair.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a fourth of your head.
Yeah.
So we're talking maybe 6 to 10 ounces of hair, depending on how full you want your wig, which could cost you anywhere from $400 to $10,000, depending on the hair, the color, if it's virgin hair, if it's ever been cut before, is it Indian hair, is it Brazilian hair?
Yeah.
Like, all of that matters.
And then on top of that, we have to buy a plane ticket and a hotel in order to get it installed in our heads.
And then we have to pay the person who's going to install
it. So it's a big deal. It's really a big deal.
Yeah. And we haven't even gotten into maintenance and upkeep once you put a weave in. But
right.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the perm.
Perm.
Because a perm for black people is not the same as perm for white people. Yeah. Perm is to straighten it.
And we've come a long way since, you know, I'm the senior among us today. Perms in black hair has come a long way. I mean, it used to have a very strong odor and it used to burn. When putting it in, if it was too strong. But today it's a little bit more tolerable. It doesn't have the odor that it used to have, and it can go in a little bit quicker. It's a better process, I'll say.
Well, and the odor came from all of the chemicals that
correct
were being used.
Right. Yes,
I can't think of what's the movie with. It's a movie about a singer, and he's getting his hair perned, and it starts to burn.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Malcolm X.
Maybe.
I think it's Malcolm X with Denzel Washington, and he gets his hair done and it starts to burn, like it feels like it's on fire. And that's literally what it used to feel like. But you'd be hard pressed to find a black person to put a perm in your hair nowadays.
Yeah, they like still do it. They still do it.
It's not easy to find. Down mm-hmm. south, like when I say down south, I mean like Texas, Georgia, mm-hmm. Louisiana, South
yeah,
Carolina.
You can find that. Yeah.
It's easier to find.
Yes, it is.
But when you're in like California, Seattle, Oregon,
New York, probably.
New York.
Yeah.
We've come a long way where it's like, why do you want to put that in your hair? Like,
yeah.
It's not as easy to find somebody who will relax your hair.
You know, I went to Portland, to Oregon, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It was time for me to get my hair done. And I'm like, well, I'm going to Portland so I can call and get a black hairstylist and get my hair done while I'm there. But I was hard-pressed to find, and I'm not saying that they don't have any because the Portland Trailblazers are there, so they have to have some black hairstylists there. But I was unable to find someone to do braids for me while I was in the area, and so I had to do an extra trip. I think maybe I had to skip to California or somewhere to get my hair done on that particular trip. And so it's a costly process, y'all. It's a costly process. And since we've been in COVID, it's been worse because we have not been able to travel. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, let's pull out the wigs.
All right. Let's talk about the cornrows.
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 Colin Kaepernick's hair is not an Afro. It's in cornrows.
This is true. That's right. Just to get a visual, y'all.
Yeah,
just
visual.
To get a visual.
Who wears cornrows anymore?
Like, I know.
They're not as big of a
they're
thing
not
as they
popular.
Used to be.
They're not as popular. Yeah.
But they are.
R. Kelly used to wear cornrows, right?
We're not talking about
a lot yeah, of the. A lot of our NBA players still wear cornrows.
Do
yeah.
they?
Yeah, they do.
Allen Iverson.
Iverson.
He
yeah.
was a big one
yes.
way back in the day.
Yeah,
he wore
Allen
cornrows.
Iverson, yeah.
It's when you. Basically, it's like a French braid, but in reverse.
Yeah. Right,
so instead
yeah.
of the hair being tucked under, it's. Over.
So over, yeah.
And it's braided back
like down
and
to your scalp.
The designs can be amazing. And
right.
if you have to be a master braider sometimes mm-hmm. to be able to accomplish some of the things that they do. And, you know, it takes a lot of time.
My mom
can cornrow, and she used mm-hmm. to cornrow my hair when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 3 hours for a hairstyle that maybe lasts nine days.
Yeah, a mm-hmm. week or so.
Because it'll start fraying around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that leads us into braids.
Braids.
Yeah.
There's
braids.
A million different kind of braids.
yeah. Yeah.
You can have the individual ones, and then you have the big ones, like what Brandy used to wear, like in her first album, like I Want to Be Down, Brandy.
Yeah.
And she would have like the big braids, and then you have like the smaller
ones.
Braids, micros.
The box, they call them box.
Micros, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
And basically what that is when they take, you can take real hair or you can take synthetic, and they individually divide your hair or part is what we call it when we separate pieces of hair. They part your hair into sections and then they braid your hair with the synthetic hair to give you a little bit of volume and length. And those can last for a while. They're
yeah.
probably the most economical hairstyle
yeah.
we have.
Especially
yeah.
in Juno.
Yeah.
It takes a long time, but to me, that's one of the hairstyles that's worth the time because it does last for
yes.
several weeks. I
yes.
mean, maybe even a couple months if you take care of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it can be pretty cost effective because you can use synthetic hair, which doesn't cost a lot.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was dropped off at a salon at 10 in the morning on a Saturday in Anchorage, and I was picked up at 10 p.m. on that same day. So that was 12 hours for my braiding process. It lasted about 3 months, which was just fine. I remember coming into the office that Monday or Tuesday, and someone did come by. They saw my, of course, it looks new, fresh, and everything. So you're going to be noticeable, especially since you had not worn that style before mm-hmm. in the office. And somebody came by and said, oh, you got a new hair. I said, I do. And they said, can I come look? I said, sure. So they came around and they looked and looked and looked and, can I touch? I said, no. And, wow, I bet that set you back a pretty penny. I say, how about 4 pretty pennies? And they were like blown away. So, yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, the braids are a big deal, and 12 hours is average if you're getting small braids.
Right.
That's about what you should expect to spend in terms of time.
And there were some breaks in there, of course. The hairstylist that needed a break, and I needed a break. We had to go, you know, do our potty breaks and all that. But 10 to 12 hours is the norm for a nice style, braid style. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about dreads, because those are different from braids.
Dreads are way different from braids.
Yeah.
Dreads is probably the most unfamiliar I am on the list.
Well, how
describe
they come about.
Them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, I know that some people, when they dread, they start with their natural hair.
Correct.
And they twist it. Right. But some people do add hair to their hair for dreads. And I've even seen that. Like, if your dreads start to get out of control, you can cut them off and they can put them back in.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Make they
them
can.
Neaten them up a little bit.
They can neaten them off. They can cut them, neaten them, and then reattach them to your hair that you already have in there. So dreads are interesting. I'd like to have somebody on the show that can talk a little bit more about dreads.
Yeah.
Dreads has a history.
Yes.
They definitely have a strong cultural and significance in history.
Yes, that's right.
So I would love to talk to somebody about that, but they're probably the ones that I'm the most unfamiliar with.
Yeah. Well, I understand. And I have not done dreads. I thought about it because once you do it, you have to cut them out. And so they start with a shorter length hair and you twist them and you just keep twisting them, like I think on a weekly basis, because they get kind of loose.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep twisting them back to the scalp, and then they eventually start growing out, and you just keep twisting them back down to the scalp. It grows out, and before you know it, you have this beautiful hairdo. But it starts out, it almost looks like you have little, what do you call those things? Not sockets, but they look like little...
Like little spiky
things? Yeah, spiky set in your hair until they start growing out, and then they start relaxing down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why some people add hair to them, so that
because they don't want to go through that.
Process.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, you are listening to Culture Rich Conversations. We're having a conversation. I'm Christina Michelle. The conversation is with Sherry Patterson and Kelly Patterson, and we are talking about black hair care, black hair history, and all the things that have to do with our hair. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to hear a little bit about SB 174. Which is sponsored by Senator David Wilson. And it's all about all natural hair styles and what that means for black people in the workplace. So we will be right back. Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Culture Rich Conversations, and we are joined today by Senator David Wilson from Wasilla. Hello, Senator Wilson. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi. Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're doing a show. The first segment today is on Our Black Hair. And we learned about a bill that was introduced this session, and it was introduced by you, Senator. And we just thought we'd reach out to you and ask you to share. First of all, why did you feel it necessary to introduce this bill on natural hair?
You know, this was a piece of conversation that was going around the nation and thinking about my own personal experiences and some of that of others that I've come across, that this is something that I think a lot of folks just deal with in silence. There's not really an avenue or a real group to say, hey, you know, my child has to be sent home because they said their teacher's hair, they were unkept or unclean. Mm-hmm. People in the workplace who feel that braided hair is not a professional style of hair, and it has nothing to do with sort of the person's abilities, but more on just what they felt as a personal appearance situation. So we just really felt that, you know, we should not have employers or schools really just judging or that you should be able to participate because they want you to alter your natural hair. And so this is something that we found is more prevalent as we get folks to come in, testify for the bill, and they start to learn about the bill. And they start really testifying and saying thank you because a lot of folks, they've stated, have just suffered in silence.
Okay. I know that testimonies have been heard. Are we still in the testimonial process, or where are we as far as the bill being moved?
Senate Bill 174 is in Labor and Commerce. We're waiting for sort of the amendment deadline to pass through that, and then that version of the bill goes to the Senate floor, where we'll debate it and hopefully pass it on over to the House. There is a House companion to this bill. Representative Tarr is carrying that bill for us, and we appreciate her to having that companion bill for that.
Perfect. Senator Wilson, this is Kelly Patterson, and I just wanted to ask, how has the bill been received, and were you surprised or not surprised at how it was received?
It was House Bill 312 is the House version. The bill has been received in the Senate fairly well. A lot of folks just sat down and just didn't understand sort of the why and what you explain to them. And once they hear some of the testimony that folks have called in from inside our state, they understand. I mean, it's not a crime. It becomes a civil penalty. So it's not a automatic, you know, this person's going to get a misdemeanor or something of that nature. And so we're just trying to just put a little bit more awareness to say it's not okay to sort of discriminate upon someone's appearance. Like I said, my colleagues, I haven't had any one to really go through any sort of the opposition of the bill. And I think the biggest argument is, should government tell the workplace what to do and what not to do? And we're not saying, you know, you still have to show up to perform the daily duties of a job. You know, this isn't giving someone protective status, you know, to not to, you know, we're still an at-will state. And so we're not trying to say you can't fire somebody or hire somebody based upon the job requirements, that you just won't discriminate because of natural hair.
Senator, do you feel that this bill is really necessary? And I know you've probably gotten that. This state where the population of African American is not as large, I'll say that, as other states.
Yes. You know, it's if one person is discriminated upon, it's one too many.
Yes,
but,
yes,
you
yes.
know, it also helps the national conversation. Well, right now we have a handful of states that have already passed something similar. And so the more states that can get on board, then maybe we can get this more down on a national level. My understanding is in Congress have already passed a piece of legislation similar to this. I'm not sure the momentum in the Senate on this piece of legislation that is passing through Congress now, but we've had these situations happen in the state of Alaska. And so whether a handful or not, I mean, we have a young mother in Southeast called and talked about her child and who's of mixed descent, and she had a hard time dealing with these situations. it took a lot of understanding, and all hair is not equal hair. I mean, it's not what people have come to. I mean, you hear stories about, and I'm sure, of kids having their hair touched and smelt, and people just don't understand about the boundaries of this is still a part of the person.
Yes, that's right. So, Senator, we have one more question for you, and we'll let you go. And thank you so much again for joining us. But tell us again, what exactly does this bill do? What will it do here in the state of Alaska?
This bill would allow natural hairstyles and would allow employers and the public schools would prohibit them from adopting dress codes or disallowing students or employees from wearing hair in the natural styles associated with race or the natural style or required to students to participate or semi-alter their hair, their natural hair. And so I just feel that no employee or student should be prohibited from practicing in their work or attending school, public school, because they're not willing to alter their natural hair. And so we just really feel that people of color or ethnic descent are deprived from certain opportunities because of this. And so we just want to make sure that we try to level that equal playing field out of it.
That's wonderful. Senator Wilson, this is Christina Michelle, and we just thank you so much for your time, and we thank you for this bill and what it does for the African American population here in the state of Alaska and beyond.
All right, yes. Thank you, guys. And we do really appreciate the call and taking interest, and hopefully, like I said, it's having some issues in the House. We have a couple of folks that just don't quite understand, but it takes a lot of it takes a lot of one-on-one conversations to sit down with someone behind closed doors to have that frank conversation, because a lot of people just feel uncomfortable, you know, trying to sit in committee and ask those questions.
Right.
So,
yeah,
a lot of behind doors, closed doors, frank conversations of, okay, why is this necessary in this situation?
You know, I could see how some people were like, well, employers should have the right to tell somebody they can't show up with dreadlocks, you know? So,
well, you know, and I say, if an employer wants to do that, I tell people they can go the Disney route.
Right.
You know,
right.
they hire characters. You won't see a black Mulan.
Right.
Because you won't see a fat Cinderella. I mean, they hire a role for a character. So if an employer wants to do that, they can do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think they'll be looked down upon for doing something like that. But they do that in Egypt, where their newscasters, they sign a contract saying that you will keep maintaining these type of appearances.
They do it in Vegas, too. I lived in Vegas for 12 years before here, and all of our cocktail waitresses are hired as performers so that they can dictate their weight and their hair color and all of those things.
Yes. And so if an employer wants to do that, they still can. And then you know what you're doing as, you know, when you sign on. But we don't want, you know.
Right.
But for a school, and it still allows folks to, you know, for safety hazards, you know, we don't want someone in shop class, you know, with long hair and being tangled up. Or,
right.
You know, same thing for food safety standards. So we still want folks, you know, no one wants to have any type of hair in their soup.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and feel free to continue, and we look forward to continuing this debate, and hopefully we can get it passed this session.
Excellent.
Thank you, Senator.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We've just heard from Senator David Wilson on SB 174, Allow Natural Hairstyles. And one thing that I really appreciate is when asked, is this something that we really need in the state of Alaska with such a small population of Black people? His answer without hesitation was yes, because if even one person is discriminated against because of their hair, then that's a problem. So I really, really do appreciate that.
Yes, and I like that he's bringing awareness to a problem that people don't get to talk about on a large platform. I don't think that people are aware of the discrimination that takes place. Unless you are Black and you've been put in that situation, it's not something that you would probably think about. For people that are of non-color or, you know, not people not of color, your hair has probably not been the topic of very many conversations outside of your immediate circle.
Right.
I've always had like pretty conservative views on my hairstyles, but I have worked at places where I had to get permission to do individuals and or individual braids, and they dictated how big or how small they could be. And I've worked at places where they could tell me what color my hair could be. So we could only have natural hair color, meaning like the typical people of your race, what color is their hair? If it's not red, I couldn't show up with red hair, as opposed to like my coworkers who are not of color could dye their hair red,
right,
or blonde. Like I couldn't show up with blonde hair one day. It had to be a variation of some type of black or brown because that's my natural or what they perceive to be a natural hair color for somebody of my skin tone. So that's not a conversation that most people have to have with an employer.
Right.
And I was, I don't know, blessed or maybe not blessed, but I had a boss who was also Black and was experienced in the same thing. So if I went to her and said, can I get an individual? She was able to say and understand what an individual was. She was able to tell me how big is acceptable and how big is not. You know, she was able to make those decisions, and we were able to go to people together and show them pictures and say, this is what it looks like. But not everybody has that bridge between upper management and line staff to say what's acceptable or what's not acceptable. So I just think that it's a step in the right direction to give people of color the right to have whatever hairstyle makes them comfortable, especially in schools. I think that it's so important in the schools for them not to be discriminated against or have anything taken away from them because of how they choose to wear their hair.
Absolutely. And when I think about, you know, being told you have to wear your hair the natural color of your race, it kind of pigeonholes you, because if I was told that, first of all, like my hair is blonde 95% of the time. So if I had to wear my natural hair color, then that would force me to probably wear my natural hair. And then that's a whole nother topic, because now I have to figure out, like, is wearing my natural hair going to be acceptable in this environment because my hair is not processed in any way. And so I've got something close to the afro going on. And so then is that going to be okay? Or do I have to wear a natural hair color wig? Which, you know, then that's, we're going down another route with that. And so,
Yeah. And in this particular instance, they wanted straight and the color you were born with. So an afro was not acceptable. Twists were not acceptable. Dreadlocks were not acceptable. Our dress code was very strict. So we talked about earlier amongst ourselves, just like, okay, then go the Disney route. Everybody has this. And that's pretty much what it was. Like men couldn't have, you know, their hair couldn't cut your collar. We weren't allowed to have tattoos showing. We could only do nail polish or even makeup that complemented our skin. So if you were Black, you couldn't wear blue. Like we couldn't wear blue eyeshadow if we were Black. You had to wear like the nudes or the golds or the browns, or, you know, red lipstick was out of the question for everybody. Like nobody could wear red. They would send you back and be like, take it off. So the dress code was strict all the way around, but it did kind of pigeonhole us into, you relaxed your hair and wore it straight. You wore a wig or you wore a weave. Those were our options. I can see when you have a group of people that are in a uniform and you want there to be no variation, you don't want anybody to stand out or anybody to be spotlighted on. I can see how you may want to do that. But I do think that there has to be some allowance for what God created to come out of my head. Like, you know, like if my hair is kinky and that's what you get, then that should be allowed. Whether I choose to wear it that way or not is my choice. But, you know, how can you tell somebody that the way you were born is not acceptable?
Absolutely.
Like the way you come out is not good enough. to be presented to the world. Like, you know, that's essentially what they're saying.
Not if you want to work here.
Yeah, not if you want to work here.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that can do stuff to people. You know, that takes a lot of unpacking when you've had years of somebody telling you that.
Now, I know that your experience, Kelly, that you're referring to right now was in another state. Have we heard of those? I mean, evidently we have, because we have now a senator that sponsored a bill to that effect. But do we know of any instances in our state, you know, us personally, that is, where there's been some discrimination about hairstyles, natural hairstyles?
I wouldn't say so. For me, no, it's just mainly been a lot of questions, but I like to change my hair up anyway, and so it's more just like the stunned looks when I come in with a completely different hairstyle than I had yesterday. Or you might even see me at work and then see me with a different hairstyle at the gym that night because I'm not wearing my good hair to the gym to work out, you know? So like probably just getting a lot of questions about how did you get it that color? Did it come that color? Or did you dye it yourself? You know, things like that. I mean, I actually had somebody at work tell me, like, she said, wow, your hair looks so much more nourished and healthier today. And I'm like, it's the same wig. Like, what are you talking? First of all, this is not my hair. Second of all, it looks the same as it always does because it's a straight up wig. And like, what kind of backhanded compliment is that anyway? Like, it just is all bad. But nothing that has come from my actual employers.
Okay. Yeah. I also think that because the population in Alaska, the black population in Alaska is so small, they don't know that it's not our hair. Unless they're really, really close to us, or unless we flip it up one day.
Right.
You know, I worked for the state of Alaska in the same division for 5 years and bought the same wig over and over and over again. And then one day showed up with short hair and I was like, I can't believe you cut your hair. It's like, I didn't cut my hair.
You know,
and I purposely do that because I don't like people asking me a lot of questions. I just don't. Like, they may see me at the grocery store and it may be curly and be like a bob, but at work, it's pretty much always going to be the same hair over and over and over because I don't like the attention that it gets when I change my hair all the time and asking all these questions that are frankly inappropriate sometimes. You know, it's one thing to be like, oh, I like your hair and keep moving, which is what most people do. It's another thing to, you know, totally like, wasn't it short yesterday? Isn't it a different color? And then when you tell them it's a wig, oh my goodness.
Right.
And then there's just certain things in black culture that are like, if I tell another black person, like, what color is your hair? And I say it's a 1B, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
Or if I say it's a 2, or if I say it's a 1B30 or a 1B33, they know exactly what I'm saying. They're colors of hair. They're pretty standard traditional colors of hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody comes up to you and is like, oh, I love that color. What color is it? And you're like, oh, it's a 1B. And then it's a whole new
conversation. Yeah. And just for reference, like a 1B is a like an off black. It's not a jet black. It's a lighter shade of black. A 2 is like even lighter than that, almost like a super dark brown. A 1B30 is like a light brown with highlights.
Yeah,
like the 30 is the highlight.
Yeah. 1B33 is like a dark brown, almost black with like a reddish brown.
Yeah.
Almost like a dark auburn highlight. It's all common, you know, culture conversation for us.
And not necessarily a conversation you want to have at the water cooler, right?
With like someone that you're not intimate with.
You don't even know. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But we'll get more into that in subsequent shows about this topic. Is there anything else that we want to say about?
I just was reading the other day, and as we approach the graduation and prom season, reading again about how our black seniors are asked to cut or modify their hairstyles if they're wearing braids or dreads. And I just read maybe 2 or 3 days ago where, and I've forgotten what state it was, but this young man he's a senior in high school, had dreadlocks, and they asked him to cut his dreads so that he could graduate. And then they had to come back after his parents did an uproar and apologize to him because they couldn't do that. They just couldn't do it. But it's done all the time. And it's just something that we want to bring to light since we're talking about this here in our state. And I don't think any of these things have happened here. It may have. If you're listening and you know about something, you can add to the conversation. It's just a good conversation to have. And this whole show is about educating our community. And I say congratulations to us for having a conversation.
Yep. And if you have questions about black hair, this is probably the best time to ask them. We'll be having some professionals to come in and talk about black hair. You can find us at Juno BAA on Facebook. If you want to drop a question in there, and we'll try to answer it on the air. Anything that you have maybe wanted to ask a black person when you saw them, but you didn't feel comfortable. And by the way, kudos to you for not being that person that makes them uncomfortable. We are inviting you at this time to have a safe space to open a question, to ask a question.
Yeah.
And we would love to get to those and try to answer as many as we can and get back to you guys.
Yeah,
we think this is a good conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thank you so much for being here with us today for Culture Rich Conversations. Again, this is Christina Michelle, and you've heard from Sherry Patterson and Kelly Patterson and our guest, Senator David Wilson. So we will be back with you again next Thursday. And until then, take care.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture Rich.